भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
This evening we're reading from the Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter 12, entitled Devotional Service. Text number 9 or 10. 9. Okay. Atha
chittam
samadhatum
na
shaknushi
mai
stiram
abhyasa
yogena
tato
mam
ichaptum
धनंजय
अथ
चित्तं
समाधातुं
न शक्नोषि मयि स्थिरम्
अभ्यासयोगेन
ततो
माम्
इचाप्तुं
धनंजय
Here
Arjuna,
O winner of
wealth,
If you cannot
fix your mind
upon me
without deviation,
then follow
the regulative
principles of
bhakti yoga.
In
this way,
develop a
desire
to attain
me.
Responsibly,
please repeat.
My
dear Arjuna,
O winner
of wealth,
if
you cannot
fix your mind
upon me,
without
deviation,
then
follow the regulative
principles
of bhakti
yoga.
In
this way,
develop a
desire to
attain me.
Purport
by Srila
Prabhupada.
In
this verse, two
different processes
of bhakti
yoga are
indicated.
The
first
applies
to one
who has
actually
developed an
attachment
for Krishna,
the
Supreme
Personality
of Godhead,
by
transcendental
love.
And
the other is
for one
who has
not
developed
an attachment
for
the Supreme
Personality
by
transcendental
love.
For
this second
class,
there are
different
prescribed
rules
and
regulations
one can
follow
to
be
ultimately
elevated
to
the
stage of
attachment
to Krishna.
Bhakti
yoga
is
the
purification
of
the senses.
At
the present
moment
in
material
existence,
the
senses
are
always
impure,
being
engaged
in
sense
gratification.
But
by the
practice
of bhakti
yoga,
these
senses
can
become
purified,
and
in
the purified
state,
they
come directly
in
contact
with
the
Supreme
Lord.
In
this
material
existence,
I may
be
engaged
in
some
service
to some
master,
but
I don't
really
lovingly
serve
my master.
I
simply
serve
to get
some
money.
And
the master
is also
not
in love.
He
takes
service
from me
and
pays
me.
So there's
no
question
of love.
But
for
spiritual
life,
one must
be
elevated
to
the pure
stage
of love.
That
stage
of love
can
be
achieved
by
the
practice
of
devotional
service
performed
with
the
present
senses.
This
love of
God
is now
in
a
dormant
state
in
one's
heart.
And
there,
love of
God
is
manifested
in
different
ways,
but
it is
contaminated
by
material
association.
Now
the
heart
has to
be
purified
of
the
material
association,
And that dormant, natural love for Krishna has to be revived. That is the whole process. To practice the regulative principles of bhakti yoga, one should, under the guidance of an expert spiritual master, follow certain principles. One should rise early in the morning, take bath, enter the temple, and offer prayers and chant Hare Krishna. Then collect flowers to offer to the deity, cook foodstuffs to offer to the deity, take prasadam, and so on. There are various rules and regulations which one should follow, and one should constantly hear Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam from pure devotees. This practice can help anyone rise to the level of love of God, and then he is sure of his progress into the spiritual kingdom of God. This practice of bhakti yoga under the rules and regulations, with the direction of a spiritual master, will surely bring one to the stage of love of God. Ata chitam samadatum na shaknoshi maistiram abhyasa yogena tato mamichaptum dananjaya. My dear Arjuna, O winner of wealth, if you cannot fix your mind upon me without deviation, then follow the regulative principles of bhakti yoga. In this way, develop a desire to attain me. Interesting here how Srila Prabhupada describes two processes of bhakti yoga. I guess you might say that it is a broad vision. On the one hand, Krishna is ordering Arjuna, just fix your mind upon me, never forget me, always think of me. And on the other side, he's offering a consolation that if you can't do that immediately, in other words, he expects that it might be difficult, given that we are now here in the material world where the tide is totally against surrender to God. Icha dvesha samuttena dvandva mohena. Bharata. All living beings come into this material world full of material desires. The vishaya, the objects, vishaya vini vartante, niraharasya dehina. For those who are dehina, for those who take a material body, the objects of the senses are very naturally attracted. In fact, one time I asked my spiritual master, one of my godbrothers had left devotional service. I was somewhat surprised. He was a survivor of sorts, but he left. So I expressed my surprise that this devotee had fallen down from the path. And Srila Prabhupada's comment was that you should not be surprised when someone falls down, because practically everyone is fallen in the material world. You should be surprised when someone can follow. That is surprising. So, how to overcome our lower nature, how to overcome our animal nature. This is in the Srimad Bhagavatam. It is explained, Ahar nidra bhai maitunam cha dharmena hina. Engaged in eating, sleeping, mating, defending, without any dharma or spiritual life, one remains an animal, pashu, dvipad pashu, two-legged animal, nara pashu. Perhaps he is more sophisticated than the jungle variety. But he is only a polished cat or dog. Business is the same. Eating, sleeping, mate. Whether you eat in a big, big skyscraper on the top floor on a nice golden plate, or you eat in the street, anything thrown out. Eating business is the same. Sex business is the same. The dog's pleasure in sex is certainly, judging by his absorption in it, which is visible to everyone, is nonetheless grabbing or attractive, whatever. Sex is sex in any body. And sleeping, animals are better at sleeping. They don't need sleeping pills. Bears can sleep for 6 months in a year. No problem. We had one elephant in Bombay. She ate 18 hours a day. 4 hours sleeping, 2 hours exercise, and 18 hours eating. 300-400 kilos of food a day. So the animals are actually better in eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. But if we make a competition with them, then we're certainly not human beings. Human life is meant for Brahma Jigyasa, Atato Brahma Jigyasa. After passing through 8,400,000 species of life, having experienced every kind of sense engagement, basically the rasa, the taste is the same, but variety is the spice. We think by a different variety of the same thing, we will screw out a different kind of pleasure which will finally bring us satisfaction. What an illusion. What a grand illusion. This material world is a paradise for fools. Because old age, disease, and death, and rebirth, miseries caused by nature, adidaivik klesha, adhyatmic klesha, miseries caused by the infirmity of my own body, weak liver, weak heart, weak veins, weak this, that, invariably innumerable problems. Miseries caused by other living beings, adibhautik, seems to be increasing day by day. People are becoming more and more inhumane, more openly, more and more animalistic day by day. So many miseries, and only a little pleasure, sensually. And yet people have dog-like obstinacy. They won't turn to the Lord. They won't turn to God. I won't chant Hare Krishna. Famous cartoon of the gentleman in the New Yorker magazine, a famous magazine in America, very so-called high-class magazine. There was a cartoon that Prabhupada used to refer to of slick-looking businessman on Wall Street approached by a devotee in his dhoti and kurta and one color sock on one foot and one color sock on another. They always caricature us like that. So the devotee was saying, chant, chant, chant. And the man was saying, can't, can't, can't. They won't chant. Because they're unfortunate. Manda bhagya. Manda, not only the unfortunate that they can't chant, but they're unfortunate that they have to suffer so much bad karma. They have to suffer a very short life. Whereas in other ages, even at the beginning of Kali Yuga, we have reference that Moses lived for 900 years. Forget our Vedic tradition. India has no history, that the historians will tell you. But even in their own culture, people lived longer thousands of years ago. Of course, that they won't agree with, maybe. They suffer short duration of life, bad karma, superficial interest in spiritual life, very difficult to make ends meet, put into great difficulty by their own leaders whom they choose, and then again have to pull down and put in another fool, out with the lion, in with the tiger. They have no brain. And the biggest suffering, the biggest misery that they face is their own mind. In the Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna laments. That was 5,000 years ago. And Arjuna was a great man, emperor of the whole world, powerful personality, a Rajarshi, a Rishi, a very learned, sophisticated, cultured man and emperor of the whole world. He protested that Chanchalahi Mana Krishna Pramati Balavadridam Tasyaham Nigraham Manye Vayoriva Suduskaram. My mind is restless, turbulent, obstinate, very strong. I would have more luck in controlling the wind, Krishna. Let me go out and capture the wind. My mind I can't control. So Krishna said, yes, undoubtedly. Ashankshayam, undoubtedly. The mind is difficult to control. He said, but by this abhyasa yoga, by constant practice, abhyasena tukonteya vairagena chagriyate. It is possible. If one endeavors by the right means, it is possible to surmount all the miseries of material existence. Because the focal point of all our suffering is our mind. Our mind can be our worst enemy. Or the mind can be our best friend. Krishna says, Udared Atmanatmanam Natmanam Avashadayat Atmaiva hi Atmano Bandur, friend, Atmaiva Ripu Atmano. Arjuna, you try to use the human form of life to elevate yourself to the transcendental platform. Tamasi Ma. Ma, do not remain in tama. Tamasi ma, jyotir gama. You come to the spiritual platform, Brahma-bhuta platform. What is there on the Brahma-bhuta platform? At least there's nasochati. No lamenting. No hankering. Brahma-bhuta prasan atma. The soul becomes joyful. The natural joyfulness, which is inherent in the soul. We are jolly beings. We're part of God. He's the most jolly. Anandamaya Vyasat. God means that He's always enjoying Anandamaya, Chinmaya Ras. And we are part of Krishna. He claims us. We are a tiny particle, qualitatively equal. Mamaiva Ansha Jivaloke Jivabhuta Sanatana Ansha. We're the same quality, different quantity. So Krishna is always joyful, and we're also meant to experience that pleasure. We strive for it in all our endeavors. Our material efforts are only for that purpose, so that we can become joyful. But we're simply looking in the wrong place, just like Mriga Trishna. There's an expression. The deer sometimes wanders down out of the mountain looking for vegetation or wandering, curious, what is there? Then the deer gets a little thirsty and looks for water, and while wandering, actually in the mountain there are streams, but the foolish deer wanders out. And in the valley there is a desert, and the deer wanders into the desert looking for water. And he sees some water, and he approaches the water, and there is no water. So then he sees some more water, and he approaches the water, but there is no water. And a few hours later, he's in the middle of the desert, he's lost, and there's no water at all. So there is happiness. We're meant to be happy. We're meant to be peaceful. We're meant to be full. Krishna says, Esha Vostrishta Kama Duk. You just follow my plan, Arjuna, and you'll have everything materially also. Krishna does not deprive us of anything materially. After all, we are his children. He wants the best for us. He's like a parent, you can say. It is our right to have everything, the best of our father's property. Why should we live here like paupers when our father is Lakshmi Narayan, the husband of the goddess of fortune, and we're living here like Daridra? Oh, we are meant to enjoy. We are meant to have everything, the best. But simply one minor detail. We have to put God in the center. We have to first acknowledge that he is the supreme proprietor. This is the peace formula. This is the formula for happiness. This is the formula for sanity. This is the formula for everything good. We must acknowledge that Krishna is the supreme proprietor. This is explained nicely in the Isha Upanishad. The whole Isha Upanishad restates again and again the same theme. And the Isha Upanishad is from the Yajurveda, which also deals with proprietorship. But it is expressly stated in the first verse that everything in the universe, animate or inanimate, whatever is there, is controlled and owned by Isha, Krishna. Ishvara, first of all, it is in the Brahma Sangita, it is stated Ishvara Parama Krishna. There are many controllers all around us, right in the temple here. There's the temple commander, he's a big controller. There's the temple president, he's a bigger controller. And then there's your wife, she's a bigger controller. And there are so many big and small controllers. But of all the controllers in all the lokas, Krishna is Parama. Ishvara Parama Krishna. He's Anadi, the original controller. So we simply have to surrender to his control. You can't avoid it. Everyone, Vartma, Vartmanu Vartante. Everyone follows my Vartma, my path, Krishna says. Yeyita mam prapadyante tangstathayava bhajami aham. Mama vartmanu vartante. Everyone follows my path. I reward them as they approach me. Whatever priority they give me in love, I reciprocate. If they want to approach me pratikula, unfavorably, if they want to challenge me, then I fight with them. Or I hide from them. If they don't want to see me, I don't force my way into their lives. I don't crash any parties. Krishna is not like that. Krishna is interested in loving affairs. Krishna is the best lover. He likes very intense loving relationships, full of ecstatic emotion. So it's up to us what we want. Do we want a loving affair with Krishna's external material energy? Do we really want to embrace old age, disease, and death? Or do we have enough intelligence to realize that everything here in this material world is temporary and it has no substance? It's like a dream. It's really like a dream. It has no substance. It won't last no matter what you get. You may be expert at planning. You may be expert at manipulating and controlling. You may acquire so many things and facilities, friends. You may acquire all the opulences, wealth, beauty, strength, fame, knowledge. But it's all srama. It's all useless because it's finished so quickly. Mrityu sarva harascham. Krishna says, I am all devouring death. I engage everyone. I come to engage everyone. Kalosmi. Bharatashaba. I come in the form of time. Everyone sees God. All the atheists, they see God, but the way they want to see Him, they see Him as death. They don't see Him as their friend, as their lover, as their guide. They see Him, just like the cat. Cat carries her kittens in her teeth. She also carries a rat in her teeth. The difference is that the rat feels the cold, cruel teeth of death. The kitten sees the cuddling teeth of mother. Both see the teeth, but in a different way, in a different mood. So everyone sees God. You have to follow His orders. God says you get old. You get old. God says you die. You die. That's not the end. Some people look forward to death. It's a black hole in the universe that they can slip into and forget everything. Slip into the void. Nirvana. But unfortunately, they have to come back. Jatasya hi dhruvo mrityur dhruvam janma mrityasya cha. There are two things that are sure in this world. One's from the Finnish government and one's from Krishna. What are they? Yes, death and taxes. The only two sure things in life. So we have to leave. We can't stay here. It doesn't matter what you have. Even the devotees can't stay here. One way or the other, we have to leave. So it's the quality. It's the quality of how you live here and how you leave here which will determine where you will go and how you will continue living. You can be happy right now, right this moment. It's only a question of your attitude and vision. If you just surrender to the Lord, invite Him into your life as the servant of His devotee who wants to be His servant. So there's a battle there. It's a relationship, a loving relationship. And it takes many forms. There are many moods. Just, we have yet relationship, a loving relationship. And it takes many forms. There are many moods. Just, we have yet to study. Now we're all on the platform of Vaidhi Bhakti. Raganuga Bhakti means bhakti. It's not abhyas. It's not practice. Now we're years and years of conditioning. Habits have formed. Ways of thinking. Ways of doing. Forgetting Krishna, trying to enjoy our senses selfishly, forgetting not only Krishna, but forgetting everyone else in the material world, not being sensitive to anyone. The farther and farther we get away from loving God, the farther and farther we get away from loving our fellow human beings and all the other praja in the material world. We become cruel. We become cold. We become dark. We become covered over so that we're no longer fit to be in this body. We belong in the body of a germ, because our consciousness has receded. We've been covered by kam, krodh, lobh, moha, mada, matsari, our real enemies in life. So now we've got this wonderful opportunity under the guidance of Guru and Gauranga that we can smash the bubble, pop the bubble, get out of the illusion, come to the path of light. We can develop real loving relationship with Krishna, and therefore, through that loving relationship, we can develop real relationships with our fellow human beings and all of nature. And God will guide us. God will protect us. We'll have no worries. What was Srila Prabhupada's instruction? The pure devotee, with full sincerity and faith and conviction and realization, he told us, chant Hare Krishna, have no worries, be happy. Very simple thing. It's not hard. We have no fear. I like very much, sometimes I remember it, it pops up in my mind, this sermon of Jesus Christ. Yea, though I walk through the valley of death, I fear no evil, for the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. It's true. We simply have to dedicate our lives to serving the Lord. Karmanam manasa gira, nikilas vapi avasta shu jivan mukta. Sauchate, in this lifetime you can be, right now you can be a liberated soul. Padma patrami vambasa, like the lotus leaf. It's in the water, but not touched by the water. You can be insulated from all the miseries of the material world. Yukta hara viharasya yukta chestasya karmasu yukta svapna vabodasya yogo bhavati dukkaha. All of our practices are sane. Simple living, healthful living, regulated living. These will bring you satisfaction, peace of mind, health, wealth, even on the material platform. Forget Krishna. Don't be a Hare Krishna. Follow their way of life, but reject Krishna. No problem. You'll see, even with that, one of the advantages I had of living in India was that I very often would preach to many high-class people, multimillionaires, big corporate managing directors, CEOs. So I noticed that the very biggest people were the most regulated people. There's one, Mr. Birla, very famous, but there's so many. Bangurs and Somanis and this one and that one. Regulated to the minute. They have their morning tea exactly at this time. And you know, they're at the office exactly at this time. They sign checks exactly at this time. They leave the office. They do everything regulated. They eat very specific diet. And I noticed that the most successful people were also the most pious people. They were steady and God-conscious people. And some of them very nice devotees of Krishna also. But the point is that everything we do is sane. Sometimes we think that we're not crazy, but maybe there's a little truth there, and everybody else in the material world is normal. I was visiting Australia, and I met one devotee. He had come back to devotional service after a few years of being outside. He and his wife, at a certain period when there was a slowdown in the momentum of our development and some unfortunate things happened, and there was a slowdown, and he had been serving for many years with his wife, and his wife turned to him that, let us go and live for a few years with your parents and be normal. So all the time she was practicing devotional service, but she was thinking, and many of us do think that way, that we're a little bit abnormal and everybody else is normal. But how can you say that? It's not true. We are normal. They're the ones who are sticking fire into their mouths and saying, ah, cool. They're the ones who are taking rotten old potato water and grape water and this and that, and it destroys their brain, and they get completely, all of their senses get bewildered. And they get in a fight over some woman, and they get a black eye, and the next morning they have a headache, and they think, gosh, I really had a good time last night. I don't remember what happened, but I sure must have had a good time. So who's sane? Hussein? Saddam Hussein? They're all crazy. So we should be satisfied with a simple life. Pick one foot up and put it down. And when it's steady, pick up the other foot and put it ahead and go. So don't go anywhere unless you get something better than a simple life full of philosophy, singing, dancing, and feasting. If you find another place where you get the same thing and it's a little better, okay, go there. But if not, then be steady in devotional service for the rest of your lives. And then you can go back to home, back to Godhead, and never have to come back to this miserable material world again. And if you can, take a few people with you. That's what we want to do. If we can, take a few people with us. Because we are preachers. A Vaishnava's sterling quality is kripa, or dayalu, or mercy. He is an ocean of mercy, Karna Sindhu. So, as preachers, we sometimes have to face difficult situations, not only sometimes, every day. But we also, we face both things, honor and dishonor. We have to be equanimical in both. All of these things are helping us to become perfect in our sadhana, perfect in our meditation. Yogis in other ages had to do other things equally as difficult or more so. It is only because we are so weak that we're given a very simple but nonetheless sublime process. And it is the Lord's, as they say, dispensation is the Lord's mercy. So, I have to thank you very much. To tell you the truth, I never had a surprise party in my life. That was cute. Where's the cake? So the Krishna consciousness movement is got a very bright future. We see that a lot of things are polarizing in the world.
polarization towards the dark side of the force and towards the light side of the force. People really, there's quite a polarization going on there. Of course, in one sense, some of it is not good. A lot of so-called fundamentalism. The materialists on the one side and the right and the left, they're polarizing. So there's bound to be some confrontation, major confrontation. So we have to prepare ourselves for the fallout because we have the best product. We have state-of-the-art spiritual technology. We have a very wonderful, balanced program to make people healthy, a balanced diet. We can answer all their questions by some good quirk of faith, good luck. We have become enlightened souls. People are just, when they talk with devotees, they think that we're all maybe PhDs or something. Because our knowledge is so great. They've never heard such knowledge. But really, in the final analysis, the best customer that you will ever sell is yourself. People are not so much concerned with how much, they don't care how much you know as much as they want to know how much you care about your product. So, become convinced yourself and Nachatasman Manusheshu Kashchin Me Priyakritama, become a preacher, and that will be very nice success. You'll see, have faith. Actually, it doesn't matter. They come or they don't come. We should be fully satisfied. If you just start thinking that we're normal, and they're crazy, that'll solve a lot of problems. You'll feel a lot of satisfaction with that change of thinking. Like walking through a zoo. You don't want to change place with caged animals. You throw them peanuts. So, we should throw some peanuts to the animals. So, thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Any questions? Don't everybody speak at once? Nobody ever asked me any question. I never figured out what I have to say, something controversial or something. Okay, so what we're going to do is tomorrow, what I would like to do, I'm here on a mission to convert you all. the GBC body has given me the responsibility for developing international membership, and I've included what we call fundraising and friendraising. They go hand in hand, and also fundraising. I'm a fun-loving person, so I've included that also. It's chanting and dancing and feasting. But anyway, there are some things that I would like to share with you, some ideas, some realizations, and I would like some of your time. Perhaps tomorrow I'll give you a little presentation, and it may take a couple of hours. I have a little video to show you. And nice to see such a nice... It's really good to have a small... This is a right-sized temple room. Maybe this thing could be a little higher. But when you get a lot of people in a little room having an ecstatic kirtan, it's like it just... The walls vibrate, you know? These big temples are like you know, giant tombs or something, you know. Unless you fill it up with thousands. We do that in Bombay. We have a temple in Bombay where I spent about 18 years there. And we get between 5 and 10,000 people come to the temple. But on Sunday, we get about 25, 30,000. We have a big Sunday feast. The halava always goes short. But that's over the whole day, people coming. On Janmashtami, though, we have a real big shindig. We have between 700,000 to 1 million people come. And at midnight, the temple room is just packed, maybe a couple of thousand people in the hold, the Pravesh Mandap, the Darshan Mandap on the walls, you know, people are coming off the ceiling. It's like everywhere. It's little Indian guys, you know, sort of hangers. But it's very nice. And literally when we have kirtan at the midnight aarti and people chant enthusiastically and the walls vibrate, it's a religious experience actually. We have philosophy and we have religious experience, and both are important. A religious experience is also important. Nothing moves the soul like a dynamic experience. So this kirtan is a religious experience. You get carried away in transcendental waves of transcendental vibration, sound. Anavriti shabdat, by sound you are liberated. And the kirtan, the sound of kirtan is dynamic. It's the most dynamic energy. The non-devotees, they can't understand the feelings in the heart and the mind, the cleanliness, the uplifting experience. They can't appreciate. But it's not that we're sentimentally singing and dancing. We have the most profound philosophy. Oh, philosophy is the king of all sciences. Philosophy tells you what to do with all those spaceships and all those genetic engineering things you do. Without philosophy, you don't know what to do. You're still an animal. So philosophy is the king of all sciences, and we have the most developed philosophy. So, wonderful process. Hare Krishna.